Well, I'll tell you, yeah, it was, feel, it's good to kind of, I'm really looking forward to this small group meeting thing again. I mean, summer happened, it was great. But like Mike said, we've been all over the place, and we were at, myself and Zena and Austin, we were all at Camp Overlook last week with the youth from CFC, and the Morris girls were there. Are they here today? I don't see them around. So, yeah, we had a really, really fun time last weekend, and I understand from Renee it was a fun time here, too, and got to hear Eldon Wilson. I love hearing Dr. Wilson. He had a great message, excellent message. So, yeah, so anyways, we're back. We're back and ready to get back into the swing here in kind of a regular schedule. Thanks for filling in for me this morning, too, Nathan. I'm looking forward to hearing that. And bless the Lord. Let's take a look at in Romans, Book of Romans. We'll kind of continue along here today. Of course, a couple weeks ago when Mike shared on Romans 13, he got into that whole issue of how are we supposed to relate to governing authorities? And of course, we're supposed to submit to them, right? Taught some great principles on that. Occasionally, we might have to disobey them, but that should be, generally speaking, rare most of the time. Although we just watched the movie The Hiding Place last night with Corrie Ten Boom in Nazi Germany, and yeah, they had to disobey the governing authorities to protect Jewish people, and things like that can happen at times. And so we need to be ready to always obey the Lord first, but for sure we should obey the governing authorities. We should be the most law-abiding citizens on the planet, whatever country we are a part of. But amen. So anyways, yeah, Paul kind of continues along here in Romans, and he's given a lot of practical advice in this part of his letter. And he's talking about the importance of loving one another after he talks about the governing authorities. He talks about the commandments. He says, you know, you've heard the commandments, don't commit adultery, don't steal, a number of them. He mentions a few of them there, don't covet, don't murder. He says, you know, really, whatever commandments there are, you can sum them up in this, you know, love one another. You know, if you love each other, you're not going to disobey any of God's commands, because that's the greatest commandment of all, and that's what we need to do. And he goes on here, and he continues again toward the end of chapter 13, said, the night is far gone, in verse 12, the day's at hand. Let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual morality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So Paul is saying some things that I think all Christians can say, yeah, amen, we get it, Paul. Yeah, I mean, this stuff's really clear, and a lot of the commands in Scripture are extremely, extremely clear. You don't have to be a Greek scholar to figure it out, you know? Thank God, you know? Aren't you glad? I mean, God made his word very clear. Most of it is extremely clear. Some parts of it, yeah, need maybe not so, but this stuff is really, really clear. You know, just one, as one example there, you know, don't be involved in sexual immorality. Okay, I get it. 25 times it says in the New Testament not to do that, and it defines it for us. You know, it's any sexual activity outside of the bonds of marriage between a husband and a wife. This is immorality. Don't do it. You know, we don't have to debate those kinds of things. You know, we don't have to wonder, if I follow Jesus, do I need to not be sexually immoral? I mean, that's just like clear, you know. But on our way to putting off that stuff and putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to live a godly life and do the right thing and follow the Lord and serve him, Paul is about ready to warn us that actually, as we are trying to do that, trying to serve the Lord and live a godly life, we could actually, in the process of doing that, end up sinning even when we're trying to do the right thing. That's what he talks about in the next chapter here. It's a really interesting warning, but we could actually end up doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. We could end up hurting people in the process of trying to serve the Lord. And so he's warning us here what to watch out for, and he starts to tackle an issue that was really a big one in the church at the time. Let's take a look at that in Romans 14. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. Verse 1 here. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who stains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls. And he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So we look at this and Paul says, hey, you know, the one who's weak in faith, welcome him. In other words, have people over, get involved in people's lives, you know, really like get in there, welcome people over, but don't do it to try to convert them to your little pet peeve, you know. Don't do it for that reason. That's not a good thing. Not to quarrel over opinions. Let me just straighten out their faith in this area here. You know, if they just believed what I did, you know, then they'd be amazing. So we got to get this worked out in their life, you know. And so he's saying, don't do that kind of thing. He says, one person believes he may eat anything while the weak person eats only vegetables. Okay. What was Paul talking about here? Well, what happened is, and particularly in Rome, there were a lot of Jewish background believers, people who had embraced Jesus as the Messiah. They believed they were going to go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again from the dead. They were trusting in him for their salvation. But they, and even some of the, maybe some of the Gentiles who were reading the Old Testament, they're going, okay, I get it. The new covenant replaces the Mosaic covenant. Yeah, the new covenant in Jesus' blood. We don't have to do the animal sacrifice thing anymore. But I wonder about the dietary laws, you know, are we supposed to like not eat pork anymore, or, you know, has it been made kosher? I mean, we're supposed to pay attention to those laws. And so there was a little bit of confusion in the church. People were a little unsure about this. And some people, you know, they had a big faith. They said, we think Jesus took care of it all. He's fulfilled the ceremonial law, the ritual law. We don't have to worry about what to eat anymore. They had a quote unquote strong faith, right? Some of them had a weaker faith. I'm not quite sure it goes that far. You know, I think maybe God still wants us to do that. And so there was this little bit of dispute going on, a little bit of confusion. And Paul's saying, hey, one person thinks they should eat only vegetables just to play it safe, right? Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, okay? And let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. The danger is when we come to secondary issues, not like the big obvious stuff, like don't be sexually immoral. Like, okay, duh, I get that. Okay, but it's talking about secondary issues, okay? Things that we can maybe quibble over, maybe disagree over, maybe even find a Bible verse to support, right? And we, but I don't know. I don't think you're reading that one right. You know, we can kind of get disagreement. He says, don't despise that person who's on the other side of the fence on this issue. In other words, don't look down at them and don't belittle them because they disagree with you. Don't make fun of them and belittle them. No, they're just not. They just need to get with the program. He said the other person could do the same thing. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. You know, it can happen on both sides, right? The other person is saying, I don't know why they don't get it. And they're both saying, I don't know why they don't get it, right? And they're kind of like firing at each other. Yeah, they're just not a mature Christian. If they were just, you know, wise and amazing like I am, they'd really get it, you know, but they don't. So they just got to grow up, you know. And so there's kind of this belittling going on, this put-down action going on. And Paul is saying, not good, guys. This really is not a good idea. He says, don't do that, for God has welcomed him. Paul is saying, listen, brother who says you need to abstain, you know, the one who's not abstaining, guess what? God has fellowship with him. And just like he has fellowship with you. In fact, he's having fellowship with both you guys, and he enjoys the relationship. So what's your problem? You know, God, like, enjoys both of you. So, like, let's get past this, you know. He goes on. He says, besides that, verse 4, you know, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? Like, wait a second. Who are they abstaining for the Lord? Who are they not abstaining for the Lord? Who are they serving here? What right do you have to come in there and say, you're just getting it wrong, right, on this secondary issue? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he'll be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. He says, listen, it's not a biggie for God. He can handle this, okay, really. Don't get bent out of shape about it. They're going to stand. That believer is going to make it. even though they don't quite agree with you on this issue. It's not a showstopper. They're going to be fine. And so he really brings this warning to them. Now, today, of course, we don't have this issue with food, you know, really. It got settled, because we'll see, Paul totally settles it later on. And this is the word of God now, so we go, okay, we get it, we get the food thing. But we've got other issues that are really big today. I mean, I can think of a number of them off the top of my head. I mean, here, what about schooling? Like, okay, you know, we're supposed to homeschool. What about Christian school? What about public school? And Christians have really strong opinions about this. Okay, really strong ones. So, I mean, people come down on different sides of the fence on this issue, and they can, if they're not careful, look down on somebody who disagrees with them, right? Now, the scripture tells us we need to train up our children in the ways of the Lord. We need in the discipline, the admonition of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. You know, we're called to do that. Bible talks about bad company corrupts good character. Bible talks about being a light to the world, being a witness out to the world. I mean, there's a lot of verses that, you know, we could make an argument for any one of those three, right? So really, we gotta pray those things through and try to do that unto the Lord. Now, there could be other things, too. There's other issues, like how about head coverings, right? I mean, that one, you know, in our church, yeah, it's not a big deal here, but there's brethren in other churches, it's a really big deal. I grew up in a church, you know, where that was a big deal. You know, that was like my early days. Now it's no longer a deal in that church, but it was at the time. That was like an important thing, head coverings. So, and it still is for a lot of people. So, you know, and so you got some brethren saying, well, head coverings, it's critical. It's right there in the Bible, says it, you know. And then somebody else comes along and says, yeah, but wait a minute. You got to understand the context of the day. When a woman walked outside and she didn't have her head covered, she was considered to be, you know, if she was married, she's supposed to have her head covered. That was like a sign that she was married. She didn't have her head covering on. It's like she's not married. Like she's disrespecting her husband if she really is married. It'd be kind of like if Renee came to church every day and took off her wedding bands before she came to church every day, right? Be like, what is she trying to do? You know, I mean, it looks, you know, looks a little odd, right? Of course, when you're all together as a family and it's hot and you don't want to wear that head covering, you know, some of the Christians were going, forget it, it's just brothers and sisters. And Paul's saying, wait a second, we got to be honoring that covenant. There needs to be a sign of authority there that these people are married, you know. So some people will take that view, but then somebody else says, yeah, but I think you're misreading that. You're reading too much culture into that. No, you really do have to have the head covering. And so back and forth it goes, and people can do what? It can look down on the other person. Like, why don't they get it, Nate? I don't understand. It's obvious, you know? And they're saying the same thing about you, right? It's obvious. I mean, you know. So these things happen. You know, what about young earth creationism, old earth creationism? You know, oh, it's got to be 24 hours and this and that. And, you know, and then somebody else comes along and says, well, wait a minute, the word yom in the Hebrew, well, there was no word for age or epoch or long season. There was one word for epoch, age, long season, and 24-hour period. It was all the same word. So what does it mean when it says on the first day this happened? I don't know. Some people have said that, right? And then other people have said, no, wait a minute, you're getting liberal on me. No, it's supposed to be 24 hours, and, you know, and so it's back and forth, and people get upset, and it's like, well, wait a second. They both believe the Bible. They're both preaching the gospel. They both have a conservative view of scripture. But there's disagreements over these things sometimes. There's like, it happens. I mean, it happens. People get angry with each other over this stuff. So these things are real today. And these principles apply today. Paul continues on. How do we deal with this? He's going to give us a lot of good insight on how to deal with these controversial secondary issues. Verse 5, he says, one person esteems one day is better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. So now he's getting into another issue. Do you keep the Sabbath or not, right? You're a Jewish background believer. Is the Sabbath part of the ceremonial worship system? Well, some believers said that's what it is, and so you don't have to keep the Sabbath anymore. You can, in fact, you can even move it to Sunday if you want. Doesn't have to be Saturday. I remember years ago I spoke in a church out in California. It was a Seventh-day Baptist church. I was like, okay, what's that, you know? But the guy said, hey, we're Baptists. We just believe you're supposed to worship on Saturday. That's all. And you're supposed to take Saturday off. That's supposed to be the Sabbath. I'm like, well, that's cool. Whatever. I mean, we believe everything else Baptists believe. All right. Well, I'm good with Baptist doctrine. I know about that. That's cool. So, I mean, we were, you know, it's like, all right, there's people like that even today, right? But Paul says when it comes to these controversial issues, I love what he says here. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. This is really, really helpful. He's not saying, listen, guys, the way to solve the problem is to be totally wishy-washy. He doesn't say that. I love that. He says, actually, you shouldn't be wishy-washy, even about secondary issues. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. I love that. Paul's saying, no, go for it. Study it out. Come to a conclusion. Come to some convictions, even about secondary issues. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. That's a good thing to do. But then he goes on, and here's the main point he wants to make, the real principle. Verse 6 through 9, let's read it. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. So he's saying, listen, and this is the point Paul is making, and this is a point for us today. When people make their decisions on secondary issues, and they're praying about it, like, do I homeschool? Do I send my kid to a Christian school? Do I send him to public school? What do I do? You know, if they are serious about following Jesus, they're going to be praying about it and trying to do the right thing for their family and their kids and trying to obey Jesus in leading their family. And the decision they make is going to be springing out of that kind of attitude. And that's going to be happening on other issues. You know, the young earth, old earth thing. You know, the young earthers say, no, we got to stay true. It's got to be 24 hours. And then the old earthers saying, wait a minute, but there's people not getting saved because we're holding on to this thing. And, you know, and so you got different views on this, and one has that view unto the Lord because they're trying to serve the Lord and win people to the Lord, and the other one is doing the same thing. Paul says they're both doing it unto the Lord. He's saying it's good, and he says that's the way it should be. Whether we live or whether we die, we're the Lord's, right? I mean, that's a really good way to live. All these issues that we're facing, even these secondary ones, we should be wrestling through these issues. God, what are you saying here? What do you want me to do on this thing? What are you saying to me in this area of my life? Every part of our life, it matters to the Lord. It really does. So, we're going to end up coming down in different areas on some of these secondary issues. We're going to come down in different places, a lot of us, different spots and different places. And Paul's saying, just keep in mind when that happens, people are doing this for the Lord. And this is a holy thing. They're trying to serve the Lord, even in these secondary areas. And it's okay. It's good. Should be like that. Verse 10, he continues and reiterates this point he said earlier. Anytime you see God saying something twice, we ought to pay attention, right? He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? There it is again, right? Despising, looking down on that other person. I'll tell you, it happens, though. People that put down other Christians because they don't agree with them on a secondary issue. And it happens you see it all over the place. It's almost like sometimes, like, there's an attempt to provoke and hurt somebody. It's like, wait a second, what's going on here? He says, why are you despising your brother about this? Why are you putting down your brother and belittling him? Because they're trying to follow Jesus on this secondary issue and trying to do the right thing. Now he goes on, he says, here's why that's not wise. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. That's the bottom line. Each one of us is going to actually be standing one day talking to Jesus face to face about our life and all the decisions we made, including the ones on secondary issues. It's going to happen, okay? Now, I am so grateful for the blood of Christ, aren't you? I mean, I'm glad that when that day comes, I don't have to fear his wrath. Thank God. Because I made a lot of wrong decisions in my life, right? Messed up a lot. Thank God for the blood of Christ that washes me, cleanses me from all unrighteousness. But I will, and you will, have a conversation with Jesus about how you lived your Christian life. After the Lord, as a believer, you're going to be talking to him about it. He's going to be having a conversation with us about it. And we're going to be going through these things. And I can pretty much guarantee he is going to be correcting us over some issues. He's going to be working out some things in our life. He's going to be saying, you know what, Bob? You were a little off on this one. But you know what? And here's the principle that we're going to come to. Well, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let's take a look at it, because this is really cool. I love this. This is mind-boggling on advice on how to deal with this issue. When I realized this 15 years ago, I couldn't believe it. I had to reread it about 3 or 4 times, because I'm like, am I reading this right? And I was like, I think it's what he's saying. But look at what he says here, verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. Okay, so I'm not quite to the most amazing thing, but I do want to talk about this. He says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Verse 13, first of all, in light of the fact that we are all going to stand before Jesus and talk face to face with him about how we lived our life, in light of the fact that that's going to happen and that he's going to sort things out for us, he's going to take care of these secondary issues and clear up any confusion about this stuff. He's going to do that. That's a blessing. But he says the way we ought to live then when it comes to these secondary issues, we really ought to decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. He says the thing that I really ought to do when it comes to secondary issues is say, okay, I want to be really sensitive to what my brother and sister thinks about the secondary issue. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to get into a quarrel with them about it. And I don't want to do that because that's not gonna be beneficial. He goes on, he says, I know I'm persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. Okay, food issue done, right? Paul says, I'll let you in on the secret. Doctrinally, it's cool, eat whatever you want, right? But here he goes, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. Really? Well, wait a second, Paul, you just told me it's perfectly okay. It's clean. What does it mean it's unclean? How can it be unclean when it's actually clean? Well, it has to do with the person's conscience. See, God never wants us to violate our conscience. And so he's going, listen, if for that person it's unclean, guess what? It's unclean for them. Don't be trying to convince them of your secondary doctrinal issue. This might be really serious for their conscience. They'll be running roughshod over their conscience. That's what Paul's saying. Now he goes on. Let's read this right through to the end, and then we'll kind of tie this together. He says, for if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That's mind-boggling to me. It's incredible. Paul says, listen, when you are trying to insist that your brother has to line up with what you think on that secondary issue, and you're running roughshod over him, and you're getting into arguments, and you're offending him, and you're grieving him, you're not walking in love anymore. You're not walking in love. And you might be right doctrinally. You might actually be right, but you're totally wrong because of the way you're behaving. Isn't that incredible? That's exactly what he says here. He says, by what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. I mean, literally, over secondary issues, people get offended, they get hurt, they become bitter, churches split, people walk away from Jesus, and Paul is saying, my goodness, really? For what? It's going to get sorted out in the end. Really, it is. I mean, it really is. So he's saying, be careful. Don't go out of your way to be provocative about a secondary issue. And it happens. I see it. People, it's almost like they're trying to get somebody stirred up. Like, I'll throw something really wild and crazy on the internet and freak everybody out, right? I mean, we what are we doing that for? What is loving about that? Nothing. It destroys people. Don't do it. He says, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. Hey, if you think it's a good thing and you throw it out there and start a big argument, they're going to be blasting you for it. And what's the benefit here, right? It's just, it's going to be spoken of as evil. You think it's a good thing? It's not. He goes on, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this is the amazing part. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. He literally, the cat's out of the bag. What's more important to God, that you get the secondary issue right or that you love your brother and help him? That Paul says that it's acceptable to God. In fact, when you, what he says earlier there, somebody could be getting have the wrong idea on a secondary issue, but because they're doing it unto the Lord, it's acceptable to him. I mean, is that, that's crazy to me. Like, God, they got the wrong doctrinal idea, but you accept it. I'm like, but God, wait a minute. You're the one who believes in the truth. And it's cool. It's all right. It's no problem. I'll take care of it. Judgment day is coming. Don't worry about it. We'll have a nice conversation. We'll sort it all out. Don't worry about it. I'm looking past that to their heart, and I see that they're doing it because they love me, and they're actually trying to live a godly life, and that's precious to me. And I'm not going to, it's okay. I can handle the fact they're off a little. You know, it's all right, really. You know, not a big deal. That's acceptable to God. And by the way, it's approved by men. In other words, it's going to help you get along with people. You know, I mean, really, you know. And as the body of Christ, it's going to help us get along with one another, right? Which is really, really good. So that's what the Lord wants. That's what the, you know, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Enough of this provocative whatever, you know. Let's pursue what makes for peace. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. I mean, don't go, but they really can't, if they just got the dietary law issue. I mean, what is it? How come they, he's like, just back off. I know, I get it. I'm in agreement with you, but just it's okay. It's going to be all right. It's not a biggie. Okay, everything is indeed clean. It really is. I get it, okay? But it's wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It's not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. You're exercising your freedom, you're doctrinally right, and you're totally screwing up. I mean, don't do it. Just don't do it. So he goes on, he says, the faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Sometimes you get into an environment and you just know that you know that you know what the viewpoint of these people is on a secondary issue, and you totally disagree with it, and you just zip your lip. You just say, we had a really fun time, real blessing. About 10 years ago, we were down in Georgia, and I was speaking at a couple churches down there, post-Mennonite churches. And I love those people. Oh, I love those people. But, you know, every last one of the women, head covering, you know, every last one of them, young earthers. I mean, absolutely, you know, just down the line. Totally against drums in worship. I mean, completely. Sorry, Nathan. No drums. Sorry. Out of a job. That's it. But, you know, I mean, you know, totally against that. But I'm invited to speak in their church. We're spending a couple days with some of the families. We're hanging out with them. I mean, these people are sweet, sweet people. I mean, really, really sweet people. I go into that situation, am I going to have a conversation about, you know, my latest insight on old earth creationism or whatever? Absolutely not. I'm not going there at all, you know. They're assuming I'm a young earther, which is fine with me. I don't care, really. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then my CDs with drums on them, I mean, they're like hidden away underneath all, everything, you know, like never find that, you know. Okay, so that's hidden, you know. That's it, man. It's a cappella, and, you know, no negative keys, only the positive. What's the musical term for that, right? There we go. Only major keys. Only up. Yeah, got to get this right. Okay, well, that's it. You know. So I mean, we're we had such a wonderful time of fellowship. It was wonderful.
Put your NAS Bible away, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. King James. I'll get my new. Yeah. Yeah. They were such gracious people, and we had such a wonderful time of fellowship, and we had testimonies we shared with each other about what God was doing. I mean, we're literally crying about the goodness of God, some of these things. And I'm looking at them, and I'm going, man, I just love their disciplined life. Wow, what discipline. And the way they train their kids. Wow. I'm like, can you just, like, download some of that to me, please? Like, I could use, like, a major load of that in my life, you know, just, like, please. I mean, if I get into a big argument with them because they don't have my incredible revelation about, you know, whatever, head coverings, I just lost all that. It's gone. I got stuff I could gain from them, and I did. I mean, I'm like, man, I'll take it, you know, thank you. I mean, I don't, who cares about the secondary issue? These people, man. So, you know, it's interesting because it says, Paul said earlier in his letter to the Romans, just a couple chapters earlier, he said, love one another with brotherly love. Outdo one another in honor. And I love that, with brotherly affection, he says, love one another with brotherly affection. I love that. You know, brotherly affection, phileo. That means like your fellow Christian. Like them a lot. That's what it means. So it's not just agape. It's not just, well, I love them, but I don't really like them very much. Oh, forget that. You know, just throw that out the window. I mean, it's totally unbiblical. You're to love your brother with brotherly affection. And Paul tells us in the next breath how to do it. He says, outdo one another in honor. And that, when I read that years ago, I looked at that. God really convicted me. And he said, you know how you like somebody you don't like? You know how you can do that? You find something about them to honor. And you know what? I put that into practice a gazillion years ago. I'm getting older, you know. And God has always shown me something to like about every Christian I've ever met. Always. He'll always do that. And you go, man, and you just honor that person. And you say, I so appreciate Nathan's enthusiasm and love for Jesus and the way he has faith for people to get healed. I love that. I just love that about Nate, you know, and I'll find somebody else, you know, and I'll think, man, I love Esther. I love that quiet spirit, the way she honors her husband and her household, and she cares for her kids. I just love her tenderness and gentleness to her children. You know, we think, we don't even have to, maybe we say it, but we should be thinking along those lines all the time. You know, and then this brotherly affection starts to well up in our hearts. And we go, oh, man, I love this guy, Nathan. I think this guy's awesome, man. I'm going to give him a big hug, you know. I mean, you know, I love that. I'm like, man, I need that zeal. I love that. That faith for healing. I love that. Oh, man, I want that. You know, and so we outdo one another in honor. And, you know, forget about the fact that, you know, I don't know, we probably got some secondary issue we disagree with. I will find one out eventually, right? What is it? I don't know.
He plays drums, he said.
Plays drums. Oh, yeah, there we go. There it is, right. You know? But when that happens, I go to myself, no big deal, because God's going to straighten him out on Judgment Day anyways, right? So it's all right, you know? He'll come around, you know? So, but really, you know, I mean, this is what Paul is saying. It's going to work out, really. It's going to work out. It's no biggie. Let's major on the biggies, you know? I mean, there are biggies out there. I mean, there's like the gospel message, you know, like how we get saved and go to heaven, who Jesus Christ is, you know, that's really big, you know, really major sin issues like sexual immorality. I mean, this is big stuff, but this other stuff, you know, like, really? We're going to like destroy the work of God over this? I don't think so. I mean, not a good idea. So he really, the Lord, through Paul, really exhorts us. And he reminds us, whatever, you know, it's like he keeps saying this over and over again, probably because we need to keep hearing it, right? He finishes up, He says, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Plain and simple. Paul is saying, listen, guys, get this straight. Take it to the bank and live it out. But don't ever be forcing a Christian or trying to, or put down another Christian because they're trying to walk out a conviction that God has shown them. You don't ever want anybody to violate their conscience. It doesn't matter if you say, oh, but it's fine. Well, if they don't think it's fine, guess what? It's not fine for them. Even if they're wrong theologically, if they think it's not fine, guess what? It's not fine for them. And don't ever run roughshod over their conscience or condemn them and belittle them because they're trying to take a stand in what they believe and are convinced is right. We don't ever want to do that to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Never. When we do that, the world looks at us and goes, yep, they're just like us. We do that all the time. Got there, been there, done that, right? Jesus said, how will they know that we're his disciples? When we love one another, right? And this is how we do it in real practical terms. Paul is saying, this is how this thing walks out. This is how you deal with those secondary issues. And again, no need to be wishy-washy. We live in a day and age when wishy-washy is in, you know? I don't have convictions about anything. I mean, you know, whatever goes, you know? I mean, that's the godly guy, the one who accepts everything, you know? No, not really. You know? Yeah. I mean, really, Paul says each one should be convinced in his own mind, even on the secondary issues. But my goodness, let it be a secondary issue. Love is more important. On these issues in particular, we really got to walk in love. That's the exhortation that we're given in this portion of Scripture. Father, we thank you. We thank you for that truth. Lord, we want that to really get deep into our spirit. Lord, help us. Help us to walk this thing out. Help us to apply this truth to our life. And we want to love people. We want to love our brethren, and we want to respect them and outdo one another in honoring our brethren. We want to do that, Father. Help us to do that, Lord. We ask, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.